Father, I thank you that you give me unction in the Holy Ghost, yes. That you give me utterance to speak your word, yes. And to speak with boldness the things that you've given to us. Yes. Father, I just declare right now, declare with me, Father, we thank you that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're open, receptive. We're ready to receive. Now, we had several people baptized in the Holy Ghost last weekend, speaking in other tongues. We went one up step.
Yes, we did.
Amen. We stepped up one.
Yes, we did.
Come on. Listen, and you know, it's great. We can talk about it. We can pray in tongues, and we can do all these great things. But why? What is the purpose?
Glorify God.
Glorify God. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Why be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why is it important? Why is it important? Well, I always think of the Holy Spirit as a gift. Let's look at Luke 1:17, because I'm going to start reminding us of this all the time. Luke 1:17, and we're just going to look at the very end there. But we'll read the whole thing. Luke 1:17, and this was when I first got here to this church, and I'd talk to the board, and we'd talked about stuff, and you know, here's one of those things. You can talk about things, but until you get there, you never really know. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to go to this party, and then you get to the party, and you find out maybe it was a casual flip-flop barbecue, and you showed up in a suit. You know what I'm saying? And so I got here, and the Lord told me this first year you're here is going to be about building up the local body. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean adding numbers to it? Not necessarily. It means to be built up in the Lord. So we're here to be built up in the Lord. And he said, he took me to Luke 1:17. And it says, referring to John the Baptist, it says, he also will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Oh, that's a powerful thing right there, isn't it? Elijah had the greatest anointing as a prophet in the Old Testament, didn't he? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Here we go. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God wants us to be ready for him. He wants us to be ready for the Lord. He wants us to be prepared. He wants to build us up. He wants to encourage us. He wants to strengthen us. He's trying to take us from one level of glory to another. Paul writes and he says that we move from faith to faith. Another place he says from glory to glory. And another place from image to image. What does that mean? Does that mean we don't stay the same old way we were?
No.
That means we keep growing.
Yes.
If you had a baby and they never grew, you'd take your baby to the doctor because something's wrong, right?
Right?
Your baby's not growing. You want to find out what's wrong.
Right.
Right?
Right?
When we get born again, we're babies. God needs us to grow up. I'm not saying when I got here, this was the nursery. I'm just saying... God wants each of us from wherever we're at and whatever. I mean, you've been on your own and you've been studying and you've been in church and you've been growing, right? But as a church, God wants us to grow together. He wants us to grow up in him, to be unified in the things that he has for us. Amen? So God wants us to grow. He wants us to be ready for him. I want to be ready for him. Come on. It's a good thing. You want to be ready for him. We talked about Isaiah 55. Let's look at that. We did this for several weeks. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." To grow with him, we have to learn what he's like. We have to learn what his thoughts are, what his intentions are, what his plans are, right? We have to know him. You can't grow in him without knowing him. I like that. When I turn like, without knowing him, really add some emphasis. But we need to know him. We need to know his ways, understand his plans, understand his reasonings, understand what he's doing. Genesis chapter 1, we don't need to turn there. God in Genesis 1 is creating. And after everything he creates, what does he say? It is good.
It is good.
It is good. Everything he made was good.
That's right.
He made nothing that was not good. He made nothing that was bad. Everything he made, he said, it is good. Even Sabbath. Come on, we did that yesterday. Pajama day. We call it pajama day. You don't get out of your pajamas and you don't do anything unless you absolutely have to.
I was the only one who stayed in their
pajamas. She's the only one who stayed faithful till it was shower time last night. Everything he made is good. James 1:17 says, and you can write that down, James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or turning or variableness. You could say variableness. Now, variableness, you think, I still have to, you know, I have to go through this. It's not laminas, because that's the Spanish word for it. It's the corrugated metal, okay? It has variableness, okay? It's not, you don't just look at it and see a straight line across. You see many ridges in it. And with that, it has shadowings. God doesn't even have a shadow of badness in him. There's not even a shadow, not even a small shadow of badness in him. He's good, and everything he gives is good. He gives no bad gifts. And every gift he gives is for you now. Everything he has is for you now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything he has is good. And everything he has is for you now.
Amen.
It was not just for the first disciples, just to get the church going. Well, you give the cord a big rip on the lawnmower and you get it going, you don't need to do it again. Well, that's not the way with God. Everything he gives us, everything he's given that's good, is for you today. We have, the writer of Hebrews says, we have a better covenant.
Yes.
With better promises. Why is it a better covenant with better promises? Because it's cut in the eternal blood of Jesus. You can't just not get it now and have to wait another year for sacrifices for sin for the entire nation to be made, or have to go out every morning and kill a goat because you messed up the night before.
Hallelujah.
Right? His promises are not hinged on our good works.
Amen.
They're not hinged on our good works. I can't ever be good enough to receive his goodness for me.
That's right.
Does that mean I can just live any old way I want to?
No.
Because God has a love language. He has a love language, just like Kathy has a love language. Gifts. Words of admiration.
Affirmation,
I'm sorry. Well, with you it's admiration. Oh, sit down. God has a love language. It's obedience. He said, sacrifice and offering I was never pleased with, but obedience from a pure heart. Obedience to what? His laws. His regulations. You know that they didn't die. I mean, yeah, I'm going to touch on this just real quick. You know, some people say that the law has been done away with. Well, first of all, you have to clarify which law he's talking about. Because, I mean, there was a whole thing on sacrificial law, and he pretty well fulfilled that, right? Okay, but, you know, people say, you know, the Ten Commandments are done away with. Okay, if that's true, then we can go out and kill and covet and be sexually immoral all we want, and God just covers it up. Ain't like that.
No.
However, salvation, redemption, is by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can't boast in the fact that we were ever good enough to receive the good things that he has for us. You can never be good enough to receive salvation. Some people say, well, I'm waiting until I get my act cleaned up a little bit. Do you know I'd still be waiting if that were me? I mean, sometimes I wake up and I think, dear God, am I saved? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it just don't feel that way.
Yeah.
You know? I woke up this morning, it's September 11th. Man, my heart is filled with hostility towards all Islam. You know what? But you know what? It's not all Islam. It's radical Islam. They're not all bad. You know, I'd like to see some that are really good stand up against those that are, you know, we won't go there. You know, but it's, again, what he has for us is good. It's free. Some people would say, you know, because we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some people would say, well, I went to the altar and I tarried there. What does that mean? I tarried there. You waited and waited and waited. You know? Well, they already did that. They tarried in the upper room till the fullness of the day of Pentecost had come. And then they received the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to tarry anymore. They already did the tarrying for us. Isn't that nice? Now you don't even have to tarry anymore. Praise the Lord. I don't have to tarry for it. You know, I love this. I love this. You know, this is one of those, you know, somebody grabs hold of you like, well, let go. Hold on. Let go. Hold on. You know, you got to let go so the Holy Ghost can come on you. Hold on. Don't let go of him. You know, like, I'm sorry, what? I was about Faith's age right now that she is. When I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, I was in my mom and dad's bathroom. My mom was curling her hair. She was a beautician. She did a lot of curling of her hair. I don't know. But I was standing in the toilet and we were talking and she just started praying in tongues out loud. And I said, very similar to how Faith did. What are you doing? What is that? Well, it's tongues. Do you want to do it too? I don't know. Maybe. So she prayed for me and I kind of started and I said, well, mine doesn't sound anything like yours. She says, well, you have to expect for more. You have to expect for more. You have to work it out. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, there's some things you have to work out. You know, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So I did, and I did. And, you know, now in recent years, I was told once I was praying in tongues. And I was told this lady, after hearing me pray in tongues, she went home and she kept praying that God would protect her because she was just absolutely convinced that what she heard me doing was of the devil. You know, it's just ignorance. And there's nothing wrong with ignorance. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Ignorance is something that can be cured by knowledge. Information cures ignorance. We're all ignorant about a lot of things. In Luke chapter 11, verses 11 and 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and we'll open up to that one because that's a good one. And again, today we're talking about why the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is talking and he's telling his disciples, he says, you know, when you have need, you ask. And don't stop asking. You keep asking, you knock, right? You ask, knock. Ask, knock. Ask, knock. And find. Seek, find. Ask, knock, seek. Ask, knock, seek. Don't give up. If you're looking for something from God, don't stop just because you didn't find it the first time. Keep going after it. He says, verse 11, he says, if a son seeks bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? You know, if my kid says, he loves Eggs Benedict. Right? Come on. He's six. He loves Eggs Benedict. So Kathy says, she says, well, on Saturday, I'll make you Eggs Benedict for breakfast. What did she give him? Eggs Benedict. Eggs Benedict. She didn't give him spinach souffle. She didn't give him liver and onions. Okay, that's not what he asked for. He asked for Eggs Benedict. If a son asks for... Oh, wow, it got really quiet. If a son asks, again, for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Well, that would just be mean, wouldn't it? Yes. Daddy, can we go fishing? I'm hungry. Yeah, here's a big old snake. Have that instead. No. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Yeah, because we want to see what's going to happen when that kid gets bit by the scorpion, right? You get that, no, we don't want to do that. If you then, being evil, and this is all relative, okay, because by comparison, he's talking to people that are unregenerated, unrenewed, they have not been born again. So by comparison to God, these are evil people. Right? Being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more? So when you receive the Holy Spirit, what are you receiving? You go and you pray and you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is he going to give you a devil?
No.
Is he going to give you some demonic force that's going to lead you astray?
No.
No, this is Jesus. how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? It's not a devil. I know there are some people out there who think that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, it's not. Speaking in tongues is from God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God for us. The Holy Spirit is a gift. How much more will your Heavenly Father, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, give you the Holy Spirit? He's a gift. He's a gift that helps us. Okay? Building some background here. Acts 2:38. We're going to cover some scripture first, then we're going to get into the why. Because doctrine is important. Paul said to rightly divide the word of truth. If you can rightly divide something, you can wrongly divide something. In other words, if you can understand correctly something, you can misunderstand something also. So it's important to understand correctly. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Does there an end to that? Does that mean that at some point, I know some people say when the last apostle died, so did the gifts of the Holy Ghost. What does this say? To as many as shall receive salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given also. To whoever will believe, the gift of the Spirit is given. So we get the initial filling of the Holy Spirit when you're saved. He comes in, he regenerates your heart, he makes you new. He gives you a new heart. Is that nice? He's in the new heart business. Amen. Right? He's in the new heart business. John 14:12-14. You guys are used to me giving you lots of scripture now, right? John 14, we're going to start in verse 12. Most assuredly, this is Jesus saying, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me," do you believe in him?
Yes.
"The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Lesser works? Greater works. Greater works. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, there you go again, keep his commandments. You know, I love his commandments. You know, some people, "Oh, they're such a heavy burden." No, they're not. It's not a heavy burden not to murder. It's not a heavy burden not to commit sexual immorality. It's not a heavy burden to put God first. That's not a heavy burden. What's a heavy burden was all those things that the religious Jews added on top of it. Whew. Wow. Oh, we won't even get into that. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father," or ask the Father, because that's really what pray means. It means ask. "He will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." In other words, they knew the Holy Spirit because he'd been with Jesus. He was walking with them. The Holy Spirit was on Jesus. The Holy Spirit was speaking to them, ministering to them. They knew him because he was walking with them. Here he says, "But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Okay? This is a legal contract. He says, "If you love me and keep my commands, you will ask me anything, and it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." And I will not leave you alone is a promise. I will not leave you like orphans without a parent. I will not leave you as orphans without somebody to help you. I'm going to send my Spirit, the Comforter, and he's going to come and he's going to help you. He's going to lead you in other places. If you continue reading out through there, through chapter 16, he's going to lead us into all truth. What is truth? His word is truth. He is truth. The Spirit of God will lead us. Someone says, how can you know what God says? You can't know that. Yes, I can. I got it right here, baby. I know exactly what he thinks about any situation you're dealing with. You can find it right here. Even buying a new car. I mean, you get in the Word and just start reading the Word and say, okay, God, I need wisdom.
That's right.
Help me.
That's right.
And he'll help you.
That's right.
Kathy and I, we've got this house in foreclosure, not foreclosure, I'm sorry. It's in escrow, and it's going to close at the end of this month.
Amen.
Praise God. It's a long time waiting on that one. And it does, right? We've been renting it out, and we just, you know, the thing is with this house is that we were going into close when we were buying it and the paperwork, and I felt like maybe we really weren't supposed to do it. And afterwards, we were talking to each other, and Kathy said, I just really felt like we weren't supposed to buy this house. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to us. It doesn't say in here, you're not going to find in here, you know, thus saith the Lord, David and Kathy, buy the house at 1723 Bilbao. It doesn't say that. But he says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask and you shall receive. Jesus said, the Comforter, he's going to come. He's going to help you. He's going to tell you things to come. He's your helper. Come on. You know the other helper that you have, men? It's your wife. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Let us make him a helper to help him. Because men need lots of help. Not only do we need a wife, we need the Holy Ghost. Right? Men need lots of help. That one's for you, ladies. But it's the truth. The promise of the Holy Spirit is given to us repeatedly throughout Scripture. Repeatedly. He's promised us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. You know, Paul says, in every temptation, there is a way out. If you'll seek it, the Holy Ghost is going to help you.
That's right.
Out of every temptation.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, why else do we need the Holy Ghost? He helps us. He comforts us. When you have a spouse that dies or a child that gets sick, who helps you?
God.
The Holy Ghost. God dwelling on the inside of you. You have a spouse that's abusive. Who helps you?
God.
God does. The Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. You're facing insurmountable odds at work or with your family. Who helps you? The Holy Spirit. He's your comforter, your helper, your standby. He's the one who helps us. He's the helper. We know him because he lives in us. When we're born again, let's look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel, where are you going to find about salvation in Ezekiel? Oh my goodness, so many things. And he's up there talking to himself again. Oh, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. I know the pages stick together, right? Now, let's look at Ezekiel 36, too. I'm sorry. Once you find it, you won't lose it. Ezekiel 37, verse 13 and 14. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. and I will place you in your own land. Listen, he's going to put his spirit in us. Right there, prophetically speaking, he's putting his spirit in us. Well, you know, but that he's saying that to Israel. Well, I got news for you. You know what the Bible says? John Paul going out, he said that the gospel is to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Then you know what he says, this most remarkable thing. Are they not all Israel who are of faith as the faith of Abraham?
Amen.
Are you of the faith of Abraham? Is Abraham
yes.
the father of faith?
Yes.
Then who are you? You're Israel.
Woo.
That's what Paul said. Now, I don't have the scripture reference for that right now. It's in Romans. Okay. Let's see. Moreover, verse 26. Is this right? No, that's not right. Anyway, there he's promised that he's going to put a spirit in us. He says in another place that he says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to take your stony heart, your hard heart, your heart that's hardened against God, your heart that is hardened against being able to receive and to communicate in fellowship with God, and I'm going to give you a fleshly heart. I'm going to give you a soft heart, one that is pliable. And he says, and I'm going to write my laws on your heart. I'm going to write my commandments on your heart. What does he do? If he said he's going to do it, Paul said in Romans, he said, the Spirit of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's God putting his Spirit in us, shedding his love abroad in us, in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost. Love is the fulfillment and the goal or the purpose or the end result of obedience to the law. You can find that out for yourself. Oh, there's lots of scriptures on it. The law's not bad. The law's good. Paul said even that the law is good and holy. Why? Because it's God's moral law. My laws are good and holy. It keeps my kids safe. Don't go out there in the woods by yourself. That's a commandment of the daddy. Don't you go out in those woods by yourself. Right? Commandments are good. Laws are good. Everybody has to stop at a four-way intersection and take turns going. Imagine if we didn't have that law. It'd be like driving in Mexico. Anyway, laws are good. The Holy Ghost, let's get back to the Holy Ghost. Think about you're filling up your car with gas. Do you need to stop it every 15 seconds and stick a dipstick down inside to find out if it's full? No, you just stick the hose in, pull the lever, click the lock, and it tells you when it's done. You know, old times they didn't have that. It'd get to the top and it'd start running over. And then you knew you were done. You knew it was filled up. I thought about getting a glass and a pitcher of water. You know, because you've seen this. You know, pouring water into a glass. How do you know when it's full? When it reaches the top. And what happens when it starts running over?
Overflow.
What is speaking in tongues? Overflow. See, you get the Holy Ghost when you're born again. He comes and he lives in you. Right? Paul said, being filled, and actually in the Greek, the wording be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5 is actually be being filled. So that's like never turning off the water. My cup is full, don't turn off the water. Just keep it coming. My cup overflows, says David. He said, my cup overflows with the goodness of God. Well, we're to overflow with the Holy Ghost. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about why. Let's look at Acts 1:8. And this is Jesus, and I always say, you know, if Jesus is saying it, you can probably pretty well trust him. You know, he saved us, so who am I to argue with him? Right? Do you want to argue with Jesus?
No.
You think you're smarter than Jesus?
No.
We think we're better than Jesus?
No.
The fool hath said in his heart. Acts 1:8. Well, this is Jesus, and he's talking about, let's go up to verse 4. Acts 1, starting in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, we had a baptism service recently out at Debbie Land's house and her amazing pool. And when a person is baptized, you put them underwater. They're completely submerged. I mean completely submerged. There's no sprinkling of holy water. That's not baptism. That's sprinkling. Baptism is the Greek, comes from the Greek word baptismo, which means to pickle. Literally, it means to be pickled. Well, what do you think it means to be pickled in God? To be pickled in the Holy Spirit? You are preserved, saturated, you are drunk through and through with the presence of God. I mean, you start that cucumber you stuck in after it's been pickled and it's done does not taste like a cucumber anymore. It is pickled. It tastes like the juice that it was in. What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Oh, come on. Paul said, you are the fragrance of life to them that are seeking, and you are the fragrance of death to those what is the word? Lost. We're a fragrance. We're a sweet-smelling fragrance. Pickles smell like something, don't they? They don't smell like cucumbers anymore. They smell like a pickle. They smell like that dill and that other stuff that you put in there, the seasonings and spices that cause it to be pickled. That thing sits in there, and it becomes something different. I've made kombucha now. And I'm telling you what, that tea becomes something different. You put that SCOBY in there, and it becomes something different. It becomes a high-powered probiotic that's good for everything in you. Kefir. I put milk in with kefir grains. After about 24 hours, that's not milk anymore, baby. That's something different. It's been pickled in those kefir grains. Well, what are you? What are you if you're pickled in the Holy Ghost? What are you? You're pickled in the Holy Ghost. Come on. What do people say about drunk people? They're pickled. I mean, they've just got the booze oozing out every pore. They're pickled. Right? They're pickled. It's the same kind of thing to be pickled. Some people say, well, I don't know about all that, you know, laughing and dancing and talking in tongues. Well, stick around me long enough and you will. You want to be a sweet pickle? You can be a sweet pickle. I like sweet pickles. My favorite are bread and butter pickles. That's my favorite. Love bread and butter pickles. And Ezekiel will go back again, and it's I know I'm just not seeing it proper. Ezekiel 36, it says that he's going to give us a new heart, and he's going to place his laws and his commands in our heart so that we can obey him. What is the purpose of having the Holy Spirit in us? To obey him. So we can be witnesses, Acts 1:8. So I didn't even go on to that. I just talked about pickle, didn't I? Well, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. In other words, a witness is somebody who has seen something happen. Right? You ever been a witness at a car accident, and you had to stay around and give your testimony about what happened? You're a witness. You witnessed a crime, they bring you into court, they put you on the witness stand. Right? You're a witness. A witness, hey, you know, a witness says, I've just been trusting God, and he's taking care of everything. Man, I put everything in his hands. You know, the IRS was after me. And I just put everything in God's hands. And he just took care of everything. God said that we're never going to have children. Man said we're never going to have children. Can I get a witness? We've got children. We're witnesses of him. We're witnesses. I turned my life over to him. And he turned it around. I may not have everything you have, financially speaking. But he turned everything around, man. I've got joy. Come on. You may not have everything, but you've got joy. You've got the Holy Ghost. You're his witness. I can testify and witness to I was this way. I turned my life over to him. Someone would say, well, that's just you. You made a change in your life. No, I tried lots of times and I failed. I tried lots of times and I failed. I turned my life over to him. I became obedient to him. And he now makes me a witness. Amen? And a witness can go out and you can be going through the drive-thru. And because you're pickled in the presence, pickled in the presence of God, pickled in the Holy Ghost, and you're going through the drive-thru and the Holy Spirit might say to you, I want you to say this to that person in the drive-thru window.
Right.
Or you might be walking through the Safeway parking lot, see somebody sitting in their car crying, and God says, go talk to them. And you just become an exhortation and a help. God might say to you, trust me, I got it under control. You say, okay. Praise the Lord. I'm just so happy. How about for fruit? Fruit. Galatians chapter 5. Fruit. Is this helping you?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's all I ever pray. Lord, help me help them. Help me to be a help. Galatians chapter 5. Well, let's start in verse 19. Because it's good to know the difference between being spirit-filled and being flesh-filled. Galatians chapter 5. I don't mean to confuse you. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery or sexual immorality. These are evident. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Boy, this is a long list, isn't it? Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you make it a practice to live your life according to those things, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means you can't walk in the fullness of the things that God has for you. You'll never be a participator in the blessings of God as long as you're committing those things, you're doing those things. You can't do it. Then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? The fruit of what? The Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. You know, it's hard to be kind and good sometimes. I'm just so thankful I've got the Holy Ghost to help me. Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Oh, that's a big one right there. Staying faithful to God no matter what the circumstances look like.
Right.
No matter what you're going through in life, staying faithful to God. You got kids that are out serving the devil? Isaiah 49:25. He will contend with him who contends with your children, and he will save them. Well, that's a good one. Is stop fighting for them. Stop pestering them. Stop begging them. You let God deal with them. You sit God on their heart. Say, this is my child. This is my responsibility. I give them over to you, Lord. You contend. You fight with that one that's fighting with my child, and you save them from that situation. Amen?
Amen.
Self-control. Wow. Boy, self-control. Controlling yourself. I mean, taking charge over your body and your mind, and you say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to let that thing consume me. Self-control. Cast down thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Well, what is the knowledge of God? Well, it's this fruit of the Spirit here. What exalts itself above it? The flesh. The flesh just wants what the flesh wants. I mean, come on, you've all had babies, right? I mean, you want to talk about a good example of the flesh. I mean, and sometimes it just doesn't get any better until they get much older. And then you're fighting their flesh all the time. Why? Because I said so. But I don't care. I said so. But I don't care what you said you want. I'm going to go ask. No, you're not going to go ask mommy. Mommy, come here. We're going to talk about what I just told them they can't do. Okay. Come on. I mean, the flesh wants what the flesh wants. I mean, babies wake up all hours of the night. I'm hungry. Feed me now. I pooped. Come clean my diaper. I mean, no self-control at all. But the Spirit is given to us so that we can have the fruit of the Spirit. Did I say the fruit is given to us?
Yes.
No. The Spirit is given to us so that we can have the fruit of the Spirit. God wants us to walk like Him. He wants us to grow. He wants us to continually moving from image to image, faith to faith, right? Glory to glory. God wants us to have a greater expression of Him in our lives. Someone might tell you no. You might get mad. Get over yourself. So you got told no. I tell my kids no all the time about things. You have faith. Uh-huh. But I say yes about a lot of things too, don't I? Okay. Now let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I already mentioned this before, but let's look there. Come on, it's good. You know, you don't need to write those things down in Galatians 5 and confess them over yourself. That I don't commit adultery or fornication. I'm not unclean or lewd. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that I have the Spirit, gives me the Spirit of love and joy and peace, long-suffering. I have self-control. You're on a diet? Oh, come on. You need some self-control, baby. You need some self-control. Because come about 11 o'clock at night and you haven't gone to bed yet and you're still up and your tummy is saying, feed me. You need some self-control. The alarm goes off. You need to get up. I don't want to get up. You need to possess yourself, honey, and get up. Right? Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse... Oh, we'll just start in verse 17, I guess. Well, here you go. Let's start in verse 15. 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know what that means? It just means careful. Watch what you do. See that you watch what you do. Not as fools, because a fool doesn't watch what they're doing. A fool doesn't take care of what they're doing. They just, I mean, whatever happens, happens. Okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. Okay? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here you go, honey. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands, not to everybody else. Submitting to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Listen, wives, women, you only have to submit to your own husband. You don't have to get approval from anybody else. In the same way that husbands have to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, all of us have to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wives as he did, giving yourself. Thank you. Kathy's going, die, die, die.
He died.
He died. He died for us. Husbands ought to, in the same way, love their wives. What is that? Giving up their own desire. I just want to go play golf today. Well, I want to go do this. Well, you work it out. Maybe you go play golf for a couple hours. I don't play golf. I don't know anybody who really does. How about I want to stay home and watch football all day? Well, that's great if that's what your wife wants to do, too. But get along. Submit really just means get along with. You got somebody who knows better than you? His name is Jesus. You're going to listen to him about it. I've told Kathy, I've got a great gift of discernment when it comes to people. I can discern, and I'll say, you want to stay away from that person. There's something going on there. You want to stay away from them. And she's learned. Every single time, I'm right. Every single time. Jesus is telling us, stay away from this. Don't do that. avoid this. Why? Because he knows what's best. How's he doing that? He's doing it by the filling of us with his Spirit. When we're overflowed with the Holy Spirit, and he comes over us and he's overflowing us, and we're singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you know what that is? Come on, David didn't just sit down and write psalms. He just got in the presence of God, and he'd know about how bad his situation. But God is greater than my situation. God is my helper. And he'd start getting over, and he'd start getting onto the positive side, and he'd start these psalms. Psalms are songs. You ever hear somebody? Man, you just start praying in tongues, and I know this happens all the time. And I start coming out with these rhyming words and exhortations on how God is going to help us and how God's going to see us through and what God's going to do. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because the world is a tough place sometimes. And Jesus said, he said, that the latter days, which I truly believe we're in, he said there's going to be tribulation and lawlessness like the world has not seen before. He said it's going to be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Is it like the days of Noah and the days of Lot? Well, if you know much about it, yes, amen, it sure is. Do you need help to get through these times? Yes, you do. We need the Holy Ghost. Now, every single one of us who's born again has the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. Every single one of you. But there's more. He wants to give us an overflow of his Spirit so we can become witnesses. He wants to give us an overflow of his Spirit. Paul writes in Romans, he says that the kingdom of heaven is not merely in food and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, when you're overflow with the peace and joy and righteousness of God, because you've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, overflowing you, he gives you righteousness, peace, and joy. I mean, you can be facing some of the most insurmountable odds, but he gives you peace, and he gives you joy. Joy isn't just going, that's kind of like peace. Joy is laughing. It's being happy. I mean, you can be like Paul and Silas, who were in prison. And they began to sing psalms and hymns and began to worship God in the prison. And what happened? Can anybody tell me? They were set free. They were set free from that bondage. The prison doors opened. Joy will get you through. Where does joy come from? Ephesians 5:18, be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being overflowed. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Look what time it is. I guess we've got to be done. Hallelujah. Does this help you?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, there's a reason. You know, it's great. I love speaking in tongues. But you know, some of my greatest overflow with the Holy Ghost is when I don't know what to do and he just helps me. Or when I have stuff that comes up and I'm like, okay. I just get peace. Praying in tongues helps. Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Come on. Praying in tongues, being filled with the Holy Ghost, overflowing, is such a help. Helps so much. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the promise. Thank you, Lord, that we're not too afar off. That we're those that receive the witness of the Spirit, and we receive the witness of what is written from the disciples and from the apostles and from the early works of the church. Thank you, Father, that we have the words written by Paul, the apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who said he prayed in tongues more than everybody else. Hallelujah. How much more do we need you now, Father? How much more now do we need the Holy Spirit and the overflow, the being pickled, hallelujah, in the presence of God? We thank you, Father. Help us. Help us today. Help us this week, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. And I thank you for every person here, Lord. And I just bless them and I send them forth. I thank you, Father, that your Spirit resides in them. And you said, Jesus, that the Spirit of God would go and he would convict of righteousness because you died, of sin because man is sinful, and of justice because you've taken care of all of that for us. So, Father, we thank you right now that you go forward with us, that you go out and you commune in this community and you convict people of righteousness, sin, and of judgment so that they can all come to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.